and welcome to another episode of the Brick House Podcast, episode 105. I'm your host, Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Bob, I have a question to ask you.
Oh?
Do you play daily fantasy?
I do.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence. You should be playing on Draft, Bob.
Tell me more.
Draft is an app you can download to your phone.
I love apps.
Oh, yeah. We can go to playdraft.com. Get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings.
Wow.
I personally spent most of the past year playing daily fantasy. You learn so much about players that you probably didn't even care to know, just because you're scouting every little move they make.
Like Garrett Temple?
Yes, I knew all about Garrett Temple. The reason I did is because I played daily fantasy. Stay tuned, though, because later we're going to tell you how to get 100% bonus just for signing up.
I will stay tuned.
While you're waiting, you can follow us on Twitter at BrickHousePod. Subscribe to us if you don't already. Check out the other podcasts and subscribe to them on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. A little bit later, after we tell you about Draft, we'll have the head of the network, Chris Axman, on as a guest. We haven't had a guest in a while, so that'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that.
If you want to get Bob a Christmas present, rate and review our show on iTunes. And you know what? He'll send you fresh-baked cookies and a cold glass of milk. I had some of those cookies last week, and they were great.
You had my second draft of the cookies, is why you liked them
so
much.
Behind this gruff exterior lies a Rachel Ray.
I was going to say Betty Crocker, but I'll accept it.
Yeah, okay.
Matt, you know, sometimes I'm wondering, what are we going to do our Brick House podcast about this week?
You texted me that earlier this week.
And then sometimes an opportunity of serendipity just falls from the sky.
Yeah.
This week was in the form of a Sports Illustrated article by Chris Ballard on Sam Hinkie. This was titled After the Process. Sam Hinkie, he reminds me of the character that Larry David plays on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Not Larry David, the guy who writes Curb Your Enthusiasm, but the guy who he plays.
The heightened reality version.
Right. He's always described the character as who he would be or who he wishes he could be and things that he would wishes he could say
like
or do.
Tell people off or...
Right. He's too afraid to. He's just, you know, he conforms to the rules of society.
Right.
Sam Hinkie reminds me of this guy. There's a famous quote, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a thin line between genius and insanity.
Sure.
I feel like Sam Hinkie, of anyone in the NBA, walks this fine line more so than any other human.
You don't have any arguments for me there. You texted me, just as a little background for the listener. Bob texted me the link to this article, said this might be my favorite article ever. Then a day later texted me, I take it, because you haven't sent me 16 WTF texts that you haven't read this article. And he was right, I hadn't.
Well, Matt and I are going to play a little game. Because of this quote, and because Hinkie is such a polarizing figure, we're going to play a game. Is it crazy or genius?
Okay. Do you want to give a little background on what the article... It's just an article about someone following him...
Yeah, so Sam Hinkie, you know, resigned famously in his 13-page resignation letter last year when the NBA and the Colangelos, Jerry Colangelo, was hired to be above Sam Hinkie.
Right.
Sam Hinkie was not fired, but essentially demoted or someone...
Sure, reassigned.
Yeah,
se.
Someone, you know, he had to answer to. He didn't take kindly to this, compared himself to a extinct flightless bird from New Zealand, and among other things, in a 13-page resignation letter. And now, because of a non-compete clause in his contract, is not allowed to work for another NBA team until next year.
So this gives him all sorts of free time.
Right. So after he left the Sixers, he was underground for a couple of months, popped up with his first ever and only 10 tweets on Twitter saying that he was taking his family, moving them to Silicon Valley for a year, reading a bunch, and preparing for his next move. This is where Chris Ballard finds Sam Hinkie at a coffee shop in Silicon Valley and spends a couple days with him. And it reminds me of one of my favorite writers of all time, David Foster Wallace,
yeah.
who will take a topic and then just spin the reader around, showing them an angle from one perspective, and then, you know, a couple pages later, convincing them that the complete opposite is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just really making you think. And painting the most accurate picture of Hinckley, I think, because...
Oh, it's brilliant.
As you'll see as we discuss this, thinking of him as a complete crazy person is 100% valid.
Sure.
And thinking of him as perhaps a revolutionary, trend-setting, brilliant mind is also pretty valid.
That's where Ballage says in the article that there are people in the NBA who didn't like what he was doing, but then there's also... He has a ton of supporters, too.
They still chant "trust the process" yeah. at Philadelphia 76ers games. I think that's a pretty sufficient intro to
sure.
just start getting into these quotes from the article. And Matt, for starters, is going to argue that Sam Hinckley is a crazy person.
Okay, all right.
And I will be defending that he is a genius. Halfway through, we will switch sides.
Right.
And we will see how that goes.
Because that's really the only way you can talk about Hinckley is you gotta be open to both sides.
Let's just get straight into the first quote.
Okay, so I'm crazy. You're genius.
Correct.
Okay.
This is a quintessential quote from Hinckley. I think a great one to start it off.
Yeah.
This is a Sam Hinckley quote. "Why do we watch basketball games front to back?"
Yeah.
Hinckley asks. "Why not watch games back to front or out of order?"
Right.
Matt, you have the floor.
Now, when he says out of order, does he mean watching a game out of order or different games out of order within each other? Because that would be madness. I guess there's film study where you would want to see, let's say, Isaiah Thomas. You want to see how Isaiah Thomas matches up against Chris Paul. You want to see how he matches up against Curry, how he matches up against Draymond. So you'd watch him intersplice. But there's a difference between setting out to watch a game out of order and setting up to watch bits and pieces within each other. Does that make sense?
You know, I think one way that it does make sense,
yeah.
I think he is referring to watching a single game
yeah.
out of order.
Which is nuts.
And the one reason I think it's genius
okay.
is because think of players like Carmelo Anthony or Allen Iverson, even Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Who will have games where they make the game-winning shot at the end, right?
Sure.
Carmelo nails the game-winning shot. No time left on the clock. His team wins. You walk away from that game thinking, Carmelo Anthony is an amazing player.
Right.
I'm blown away by it. But if you watched, if you didn't put so much emphasis on the narrative of him making that one shot,
yeah.
but we're watching it out of order, you might see... Carmelo Anthony was 9 for 31 from the field
right.
with 2 assists and 4 turnovers.
So you're saying watch the game-winning shot first and then watch everything else.
Yeah, if it's all on an equal playing
yeah.
field, then it's really just 2 points.
Right.
And the turnovers, the ball hogging, the bad shots. Bad shots are practically turnovers.
Sure.
So if he shot 17 bad shots, that means that he wouldn't have had to make that game-winning shot at the end because if he had just made better decisions, the Knicks would have been up by 15.
I think that's kind of crazy because it takes away all the drama from his product, so the NBA wouldn't go for it. From a fan perspective, it's nuts because you're just getting your emotions all out of whack.
Well, let me read you the rest of this quote.
Okay,
here,
please do.
I think it helps your side of the
yeah, yeah.
of the argument. "The problem with narratives," this is Hinckley's thinking,
right.
"the problem with narratives is that they contain heroes and villains and protagonists and character arcs and redemption and vindication, all of which can overshadow or obscure fact and truth and reality."
Okay.
"They derive," as Hinckley puts it, "from the, quote, lizard parts of our brains."
Crazy. Okay.
"Which means they're simplistic, and for a man who believes there are roughly 2,000 shades of gray, this is troubling."
Yeah. Okay, so the...
I'm just lobbing up some softballs
yeah,
for the crazy
train. Right. Even within the genius parts, there's the bits of crazy. You could leave out the lizard brains and the 2,000 shades of gray.
It's hard to not be considered crazy when you start talking about lizard people.
Yeah, it is pretty hard.
But I thought that the one interesting thing here was that Sam Hinkie, he might be writing the sexiest book to ever hit bookstore shelves.
Really?
You thought 50 Shades of Grey was hot? Yeah. Sam Hinkie has 2,000 Shades of Grey. Man.
And Lizard People.
That's going to be a kinky book.
Wow. Wow.
All right. Let's go on to the next quote.
Yeah.
That was a lot of time on that. Sam Hinkie on clothing. Okay. He owned 25 blue blazers, all size 40 regular. The goal? Reduce decision fatigue, the psychological phenomenon in which the more choices we make in any given day, the worse we are at making them.
Okay.
So he wore the same clothes every day that he worked for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Okay, that's fine. Actually, I'm kind of with it. The part that I think is crazy is the owning 25 of them.
25 blazers.
Yeah.
Blazer's the jacket.
Right, the blazer's the jacket. I own one. I also don't
25
GM
undershirts.
Yeah, you know? Right. So that's where I think we're getting into crazy obsessive here is the 25 part. I'm okay with you owning maybe not even 25 different suits, but some people collect suits, but the jackets, if they're all blue or if they're all black, if they're all the same color jacket, now that is crazy. That's what I think is crazy.
There are some geniuses that he is following in the footsteps
of.
Oh,
no.
Albert Einstein wore the same thing every day. Steve
right.
Jobs.
Yeah.
Ronald McDonald.
He's
Matt.
Yeah. Okay, but did they own 25 of them? Did Steve Jobs own 25 of those turtlenecks?
He probably had 25.
Yeah.
You got a quote you want to throw out there, Matt?
Okay, so I'll
argue the crazy.
Argue the crazy. Let me dial up one here. Do you remember offhand who Weaver was?
It was a guy that worked for Hinkie on the Sixers.
Okay, all right. Weaver said, Hinkie would say the nicest things about me that didn't feel like compliments. He had this ability to assess without dragging himself into an emotional state. Which I'll back end by saying Hinkie's described as unemotional but also sentimental. Okay, when I hear unemotional but sentimental, serial killer. First thing, right off the bat, that's the first thing because they're unemotional but they keep trophies, right? So they're sentimental, so they keep things that remind them of their serial killing.
Uh huh.
I don't know how much I have to spend because I think I laid out the crazy pretty well. They say nice things. I'm sure the Zodiac Killer said plenty of nice things that didn't sound like compliments to his victims.
See, I think that quote shows that Sam Hinkie is a genius because within a 5-word sentence is a complete paradox.
Yeah.
He's unemotional but also sentimental. He's a genius. He's breaking the space-time continuum. All right, well, here's an example of why I think Sam Hinkie is genius. He uses audible.com for starters.
That's great.
And they believe in the Brick House podcast and the Almighty Baller Network. But Hinkie is super keen on lots of topics because of audible.com, mm-hmm. Matt. He's a man who listens to his books on 3x speed and curates his pocket account the way some men once curated album collections. Because if you really want to understand something, there's no better way than to spend 6 hours reading a book someone spent 5 years researching.
It's time efficiency.
I mean, this is genius. It's like Johnny Five. That's the way Johnny Five read books. Remember Short Circuit?
Right.
Or Neo, you know?
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie,
I know Kung Fu. I was just going to say, yeah, the legendary line.
3x speed is a little crazy, though, Matt.
3x speed, well, I'm only concerned. See, I think it's fairly valid. I'm just kind of concerned that it would loop his brain into thinking that people talked at 3x speed. So if you came across some Silicon Valley billionaire and he had like a slow southern drawl, say he was like southern,
uh-huh.
It would totally freak Hinkie out because the guy wasn't talking at 3x speed.
I think he might be able to relate to the players though if he's, you know, rapping at the same speed of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
The Hamilton, yeah. The musical.
Yeah. that's a good one.
I think a prime example of the genius of Sam Hinkie,
mm-hmm.
is that he, in his time off, you know, he's got a year off from the Sixers. He hasn't been unemployed since 1989.
Sure.
So he tries to make sure that he stays on point. To do this, he has an arsenal of life hacks. Quote,
oh, wow.
Every hour between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., his Fitbit watch vibrates. Not to remind him to exercise, as Hinkie says, quote, I do not feel compelled to impress it. Rather, it's a cue to consider the previous hour. Was he productive? Did he achieve his goals? He then spends the following 60 seconds considering the hour to come. Once properly centered, Hinkie proceeds with his day. Genius, because Sam Hinkie is staying efficient because he knows the robots are coming for his job. Yeah. Matt, there's going to be more on this later.
Sure.
But a man who gets up and, even though he's not employed, finds a way to make each hour efficient and reflects that it was efficient. He has his own set of checks and balances every 59 minutes.
Right.
Whereas, you know, some other companies might go weeks or months without ever really making sure that the plans that they've laid out are being executed in the most efficient way possible.
Right. I think there's some goodness to that, but every hour on the hour throughout your day, that's mildly obsessive. See, these are the things, I'm not calling Sam Hinkie a serial killer because I have no evidence, but these are slight obsessive things that I'm all for the evaluation. Like, I think it's very valid to assess what just happened and where you're going. But I wonder if he realizes sometimes, and I don't know if it's the same way in Silicon Valley as it is here in LA, but there are times you're in your car for a full hour. So is he just assessing what happened in the past? Maybe, I mean, he's assessing his thoughts, but you can get lost in your own thoughts, I think, if you do this too often.
Yeah, I wonder what sort of unimportant details he really considers. I shouldn't have stirred my coffee 6 times. It would have been good at 4.5. I'll never get that 1 second back. You know?
Yeah, he lost it. It's gone forever. Do you want to switch? Is this a good opportunity to?
Okay. Are you ready to defend the genius of Sam
Hinkie?
I don't know.
Are we ever really ready to defend the genius of Sam Hinkie?
Well, here's a transition quote that I don't know if you could really argue either way. I just thought it was hilarious.
Okay.
He was meeting at a group of the Positive Coaching Alliance.
Yes, I loved that. The idea of that.
He's a national advisory board member and recommended contacting Stan Van Gundy.
Yeah, I like that.
His quote was, hit him up for a coaching clinic. That's catnip for the Van Gundy.
they can't stay away from it.
Let's get into a quote. I'll set one up for you, Matt.
Okay, so I'm genius now.
Yeah, Sam Hinkie is not only like this at work, he house hunts efficiently too.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this part?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So when he and his wife, Allie, flew to Palo Alto this summer to house hunt, Sam used the Wi-Fi on the plane to rent route optimization software from a trucking company.
Yeah.
His logic? A percentage of the 24 houses they'd targeted from afar could be eliminated just by driving by them, because sometimes you just know.
Sure.
So Sam designed an optimal driving route, and the next morning before meeting with the real estate agent, he and Allie cut their list from 24 to 12 in 2 hours. This in turn spared a second day of house hunting, which they used for a rare kid-free date.
Oh yeah, brilliant. It's brilliant. Bob, we're sitting in this house that... How long have you been in this house? 2 years now?
3 years.
You've been here for 3 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And I'm sure you pushed way out of your mind house hunting.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. You pushed it way out because it was terrible. The problem that you had is you didn't set yourself up properly with the Hinkie Bayesian probability scale. The reason I don't move out of the apartment I'm in is because it's terrible to look for things. So he realized he had a cross-country flight where he could do most of the work there. So it's genius. He hit the ground running, Bob.
I think it's crazy. You don't even have a job, Sam Hinkie. Just take it easy, man. You're getting paid, what, like $3 million to be unemployed this year?
Yeah.
All right, here's evidence, more evidence that he's crazy.
Okay.
He drove Evan Turner to the airport after trading.
That's I thought that was very sweet. It's very sweet.
Sentimental but unemotional.
Yeah, right. You just said, get out of the car.
I said it's crazy because you got to watch out for E.T., dude.
Yeah, I got one here for you, Bob.
Okay.
This is the most genius. Get ready to be bowled over by genius.
I'm ready.
Hinkie says, the single metric I wish we had is the sum total of the scores of every game you've ever played. One-on-one, two-on-two, your little sister, your kids, five-on-five, scrimmages, preseason, playoff games. Hinkie paused. I don't know what that would say, but I suspect it would be awesome. Now, it's genius because, of course, we would all love to see the cumulative single metric of all the games we have ever played to see how we improved.
That would be awesome.
Very much show where our weaknesses were.
I say it's crazy, though, because the very next sentence,
yeah,
I suspect it would say that Kobe Bryant is Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
Which may be accurate. I mean, maybe Michael Jordan would be up there, too, who, you know, just like 4-year-old daughter versus Michael Jordan. She's got to learn to respect the game, you know?
Yeah, right, right, right.
She's not getting any shots up until she's at least 17.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's pretty crazy to be insulting Kobe Bryant, especially given what a psycho Sam Hinkie obviously knows he is.
Yeah.
Matt, I got a crazy quote for you.
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie thinks you should read some books on artificial intelligence.
Oh, man.
In particular, Hinkie is super focused on the bots, which, best as I can tell, are coming for all of our jobs and children.
Yes, they are.
He recommends AI books and articles on how driverless trucks are going to ream the middle class. He asks questions like, why are you teaching your kids to type? A question worth asking, he argues, because soon enough everything will be voice recognition. And how are you preparing your kids for a life with 60% unemployment?
I could see where someone would think that's crazy, but you have to be prepared for all scenarios, right?
It's crazy because he reminds me of David Hume. Are you familiar with David Hume? I learned about him in the philosophy of science class. He's from the anti-realist school of science,
okay,
which argues that just because the sun rose yesterday...
Sure, it doesn't mean it'll rise tomorrow.
Just
right.
Because the sky is blue today doesn't mean it won't be pink and polka dotted.
Sure, because
tomorrow
there might be a 0.0000001%. Sure.
Yeah. And technically, both David Hume and Sam Hinkie might be right.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to make any friends at parties. They're not going to get invited back to any 8-year-old's birthday parties for sure.
You know what this kind of sounds like to me is Neil deGrasse Tyson's Twitter account.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen those things where he's just the biggest captain bring down?
Uh-huh.
He's like, well, you may think this is important now, but in retrospect, it's only like a sliver in time that this is affecting. Like things that, like, I don't think it wins him many friends at parties is what I'm trying to say. Okay, here's... This is more genius.
Okay.
A friend recounts how, while wooing Allie, his wife, Hinkie spent his winter break feeding quarters into a payphone to call her long distance from the lodge at Disney World, where his family was staying. In parentheses, the Hinkies love Disney World.
Uh-huh.
Later, Sam convinced the lodge to sell him the actual phone, which is now in their house at Palo Alto. A most romantic move of all time. Genius. He just set it up. How could his wife be upset at him for anything after that?
See, I'm going to go with crazy on this
one.
So, you know, kind of reminds me of Jodie Foster going through that dark room in Silence of the Lambs,
okay,
where there's all these old relics and antiques,
and
eyeballs and organs floating in goo.
Sure.
That's what Sam Hinkie, he's got this, I saw he has a slat from the bench where he proposed to his wife.
Right, yeah,
Paris.
He has that there.
This is destruction of public property.
Oh, wow,
that
is
other things. Yeah. You know?
Takes a real crazy person to do that. Okay, I think he's just sentimental, unemotional.
I got one I'm calling, don't put Hinkie in a box, man.
Okay.
This is a quote from... one of his coworkers, you couldn't find a nicer group or more approachable humans, coworker says of Sam and his family. Then you see him act like Jerry Maguire on draft night, and you're like, holy cow, this guy is a unique cat. That is obvious split personalities there,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah.
Borderline crazy person there.
Wait, Jerry Maguire, beloved movie, successful sports agent?
Flip it out, man!
Yeah. All I see is the genius behind there. Jerry Maguire was a genius. Show me the money. He did. Hey, Bob, throughout the day, you might think this is crazy, okay?
Probably.
Yeah, throughout the day, Hinkie, you might have the full quote. I just have this little bit here. But built in throughout Sam Hinkie's day are opportunities for serendipity.
Yeah.
That's a quote. He builds in opportunities for serendipity.
You think this makes him a genius?
Oh, it's genius, because if you have to let things happen, you never know what will happen. Something you might, as you put it, meet Rachel McAdams in every movie. just so happen to be walking down the same Manhattan street as your future wife and not even know it.
It's weird that he schedules these things, yeah. You know. Maybe even crazy, you know.
Like, scheduled serendipity.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a structured genius to me is really all it.
There's a straitjacket that is like stuck to the bottom of Sam Hinkie's shoe like a piece of toilet paper following him around. Okay, Matt. One more quote here for you. Sam Hinkie, he's not
Ham.
Only Ham Stinky. He's not only afraid of robots, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
See, the NBA is a closed market. In a free market, anyone can enter. In a closed market of 30 teams, to incorporate new ideas is to gain an advantage, even if it's momentary.
Sure.
In that regard, Hinkie is long worried that someone really smart will buy a team, hire 1,000 engineers, and then stash them in some building in Mountain View. South San Francisco, okay. Silicon Valley, yeah. For those who don't know Mountain View.
Yeah, you're looking at this from a crazy perspective. I'm looking at this from he's prepared for anything. That's a, geniuses have to be prepared for anything, even if it is the crazy idea of a bunker with 1,000 people taking the human element completely out.
I think it would be crazy, arguably crazy, mm-hmm. to, you know, hire Sam Hinkie to run your NBA team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be definitely crazy to hire 1,000 Sam Hinkies to run your NBA team.
Yeah, no, that is fair.
Matt, before we call Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, I want to leave you with this thought, which is from the Hinkie article.
Yeah.
At one point, Sam Hinkie stops and picks up a piece of sand, hold it up to the sky, and it obscures 10,000 galaxies. It's a useful exercise in perspective.
Can we both argue crazy on this
yes,
one?
We both can. Yeah. We both can. Yeah. Now let's go to a word from our sponsor. Do you play Daily Fantasy, Matt?
Oh, man, I do.
If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this. Your chances of winning on Draft are almost 3 times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings.
3 times, you say?
The data shows almost 90% of players on DraftKings lose. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players.
Oh.
If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven.
Oof.
On Draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just 1 day, and they take only minutes to complete. I have Draft on my phone, and I just got, with the 7th person in the draft, Joel Embiid.
Really?
And I'm about to do another one, Matt.
Did you trust the process on that one?
I got to this week.
Yeah, right.
Join me, download Draft now. Just search Draft in the App Store, and it will come up first. Be sure to enter promo code ALMIGHTY100 when you download, and you'll get a 100% bonus when you deposit.
Whoa.
Again, search Draft in the App Store and be sure to enter promo code ALMIGHTY100. Now we're going to get our very special guest on the line, Chris Axman, founder of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Now we've got the head of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network on the line, Chris Axman. Thanks for calling into the show, Chris.
I'm honored that I'm on your show right now and that the network can be a part of the Brick House Podcast. You know,
we're looking in live into his bunker where he has a autographed Dennis Rodman jersey hanging behind him.
Yeah, it looks like a Larry and Magic poster as well. I love it.
I've got a Basquiat print up in the top right.
Oh, nice.
Girls think I'm really cultured.
Yeah, we can't see it, but we assume it's there.
Dennis Rodman is all we can see. Yeah.
It's about malaria, so. And I mean, it's a good setting, right, for like an existential topic like tanking.
Yeah,
sure.
That's sort of like tanking in the art industry, right?
Oh, man. Too soon. Too soon.
I wanted to ask you, what do your friends call you?
Everyone calls me Axeman.
Axeman? I assume
yeah.
so. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you call me Axeman?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Chris is... It's a lovely name.
It is.
But Axeman is pretty awesome.
I assume that would be the case. Well, Matt and I have been talking about this Sam Hinkie article that was published in Sports Illustrated, and it got us thinking that we wanted to talk about the strategy of tanking on a couple of different levels. One, what it would look like in other industries, and you know, what are some examples of tanking in other aspects of life, and then we'll get into some people that we suspect might be tanking their jobs for whatever reason in the NBA. So first off, imagining industries rewarding failure like the NBA, I was thinking like Bing's search engine can't compete with the popularity of Google, right?
Right.
So they start recommending bad restaurants and expensive airline tickets for a year, so they have the best chance of getting the rising, you know, search engine star from MIT.
So you're saying they're purposely bad, so they give someone the chance to come in and clean them up?
Yeah, just imagine if Silicon Valley worked like the NBA, where, you know, the worse you are, the better chance you have of getting the top college graduate.
Okay. Hey, Axeman, have you heard about what Coke did back when they brought out New Coke? You remember New Coke?
Yeah, of course, New Coke.
Yeah, so the rumor there was always that they had old Coke. The old Coke is what we now know as Mexican Coke. You know, the one with the sugar? So they brought out New Coke, and it flopped. So then they were forced to bring back Coca-Cola Classic, now we know as Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah.
But the rumor's always been they brought it back out with corn syrup instead of sugar that the original Coke did. So they brought out New Coke to tank so that they could bring back what was perceived Coca-Cola Classic, but this time with corn syrup instead of cane sugar.
It's like a Trojan horse.
Yeah. So they tricked
our taste buds.
Right. So they brought out this New Coke purposely knowing it would tank so that they could switch their Coca-Cola Classic recipe a tad, but everyone would accept it.
Sinister.
Yeah.
I could see Sam Hinkie approving of that.
Yeah.
What's that one movie, The Producers? That's kind of a literal tank, right?
Yeah, definitely. Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah. Find out the best way to make money is to have a poorly reviewed Broadway show, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking Google Glass might have been tanking.
Yeah.
They'd made an intentionally terrible product, and that year got lottery picks from Harvard, Yale, and Brown.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Or what about the BP oil spill?
Ooh. Wow.
What if that was tanking?
What upside did that have?
So if they didn't destroy the Gulf of Mexico, Exxon might have gotten the fracking rights to West Virginia that year. They were building for the future.
Were they?
BP.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
I mean, it's all made up.
maybe it was just so that we would all appreciate the Gulf of Mexico more.
That is definitely on the table.
You know,
I think Philadelphia fans appreciate wins more than they used to, you know?
It is true. My brother, who is also named Chris, I was at lunch with him today, and he suggested that the biggest form of corporate tanking is a company that builds tanks. literally, they just go tanking.
On the dose.
Are we talking like armored tanks or fish tanks?
It works both ways, I suppose. That is a good point.
I feel like one is more pure than the other, though.
Which one? That's the real question.
Yeah.
I think
Sam Hinkie is the only one who knows the answer to that.
A perfect example, my favorite TV show, Chris, is Seinfeld. And I don't know if you watch that show, but...
This is my favorite show, too.
Okay, awesome. No wonder you like Brick House. If you probably remember the episode where George Costanza is trying to get fired from the Yankees so he can become head scout of the New York Mets. And so he like wears Babe Ruth's jersey and gets like strawberry sauce all over it. And he's in the parking lot driving circles around, like pulling the World Series trophy behind him. perfect example. In fact, on the Ringer NBA Show's podcast this past week, Kevin O'Connor was describing Rudy Gay in Sacramento as basically George Costanza from that episode.
Oh, wow.
Trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
Hey, is it okay if I tell a story about me and the Ringer NBA Show right now?
Of course. Please.
Okay, so what's the new host's name?
Chris Vernon.
Right. So on Twitter, Chris Vernon, a couple of weeks ago on a show, he said that the Timberwolves should trade Zach LaVine and get someone who fits better. So I went on Twitter and I said, you know, @ Chris Vernon thinks that the Timberwolves should trade Zach LaVine. And then I screen captured a Google search for, is crystal meth legal in Memphis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he responded, and we had a lively debate.
Oh, yeah? What did he say? Yeah.
He said, I'm just saying it's, like, not a very good fit. And I said that, but, I mean, think about it. Tibbs is from the Doc Rivers tree. He could just be, like, Ray Allen or J.J. Redick. And then we had a couple more back and forths until I said, well, we should have this discussion on my podcast, and then radio silence.
Yeah. Yep.
You know how that goes.
Yep.
I was talking to my buddy yesterday, telling him about this podcast we were going to do, and he was saying that pretty much voting for Jill Stein was like tanking, you know.
He says, "Oh yeah, well, you guys were saying, I found this out by listening to Brickhouse, right? Joel Embiid, right? He was like, America's tanking."
Right.
That was your tweet of the week or something like that.
Yeah, diss of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Politics is tanking.
You know, I have heard of bands tanking record contracts before. Have you heard of that? Like they want to get out of their contracts. So like Rage Against the Machine, for example, when they broke up, they still were under contract for one more album, so they just came out with an album full of covers. Which actually I think was an okay album.
That's how we got the Rage Christmas album.
Yeah, exactly. But they, I'm reading this book, Billy Joel biography. I've expressed my love of Billy Joel
many times
before. He wanted to get out of his first record contract, so he hid in Malibu with his girlfriend, soon to be wife, and played piano at a bar in Koreatown under an assumed name, just hiding in plain sight, trying to avoid his record company so that they would be forced to drop him from his contract.
Brilliant.
So that's what that song's about.
Yeah, basically.
I have heard about that. Have you heard that Rage Against the Machine is Paul Ryan's favorite band?
Oh, man, I believe
really?
It.
That's a real thing.
I believe it. Yeah. After I saw that picture of Paul Ryan with the backwards hat flexing with the cutoff sleeves, I'll believe anything about that guy.
Yeah.
I thought one example of tanking from the Clippers came not from any of the players, but from V. Stiviano.
Oh, man.
When she found out that Donald Sterling's wife was going to not let her keep the car and condo that Donald Sterling bought for her, that's when she decided to record Sterling and, you know, sell the tapes to TMZ. Really ended up tanking that relationship.
Tanking as a mistress?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that backstory.
Donald Sterling's wife was suing her, trying to get back this like $2 million condo in LA. And that's when, you know, she decided like, well, if it's already going to be a bad year, might as well blow it up even further, you know?
I guess you could say that there were no more parties in LA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Kanye reference there, Bob.
Oh, that went over my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NBA players are actually taught tanking from a young age.
Really?
Have you guys heard about one way to make sure that your kid becomes an NBA player is to get him to tank middle school?
So he has to repeat?
So what they do is often when a kid shows promise as a basketball player, they'll hold them back in like seventh grade.
Sure.
And the idea is they'll have another year to develop the kids. And they'll get more attention from coaches and stuff because they'll be so much more dominant than all the, you know, just turned seventh graders. This will get their confidence up So then they'll go into high school, have a better chance of making the varsity team as a freshman because they're really the age of a sophomore.
Right.
And then when they get to their sophomore year, if they're nationally ranked, then the parents will have them skip their junior year. So they go directly from sophomore year being ranked, you know, number one or two in the country.
They'll reclassify,
going
basically.
Going directly to their senior year. This is how Andrew Wiggins went from being the number one pick or the number one prospect in whatever draft it was, 2015. But then he reclassified and jumped Jabari Parker, who was the number one prospect in that draft class.
Okay.
So I think it explains why tanking comes so naturally to these top draft picks.
Yeah, you know? Although I just listened to Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast with Jamal Crawford, who specifically said he thinks it's better for kids to be smaller and get their butts whooped against the older kids because they learn how to deal with the conflict.
That certainly worked for Jamal's first 10
Come
years.
On, Jamal.
Yeah. I mean, but he's on the Clippers. Like, what does he know?
Come on, Jamal.
Do you have any NBA players or GMs or execs, Chris, that you suspect might be tanking?
I think that the 76ers are sneakily tanking.
Ooh.
You know? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that it was all a ruse because clearly people all love Sam Hinkie and they're chanting, trust the process. And they, you know, named Joel Embiid the process and stuff. You know, we're doing a podcast about them right now. You know, I think they intentionally made a bad decision so that people would pay more attention to them and actually bond even more back to Sam Hinkie, right?
Okay.
And eventually the Colangelos are going to get the boot and Sam Hinkie is going to ride into Philadelphia on the back of a white stallion with a lance, and he's going to lance both of the Colangelos.
Yeah. Oh, man. I sure hope you're right.
Oh, there. That would be so good. I think that would be a joyous day on the Brick House podcast. Hey, Chris, what if I told you that Alvin Gentry is secretly tanking his job with the Pelicans? Would you believe that?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, he was so excited to get back to being a head coach, especially with Anthony Davis. But once he got there, he realized he had to, first of all, do work. Second of all, be awake most of the time, which he's clearly not awake most of the time. And he left the sweet, sweet comfort of Steve Kerr's right-hand man winning championships. So basically he can't quit because then he won't get paid. So he has to tank with one of the league's best players in order to get fired, still get paid, and then go back to being Steve Kerr's assistant. That's what I'm thinking.
Wait, when you say one of the league's best players, are you talking about Solomon Hill?
Yeah, that's who I'm talking. I don't know who you thought I was talking
about. Tim
Frazier. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, my input on that would be that just his players are crap, so that's probably why they're losing.
Yeah, in Golden State, he didn't have to worry about defense. I think he was just in charge of the offense.
Right. Well, he didn't have to worry about the defense when he was coaching the Suns either. So,
good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got, Bob?
I was wondering to myself if the guy who designed the Steph Curry 2s was tanking.
Whoa. Okay.
Man, that's a good one.
I think he might have been a Cavaliers fan.
Okay.
That designed this.
That's true.
It's the only real explanation.
Do you think he secretly wants out of Under Armour and wants to go with Nike?
Either that or he's a dad who also works as a nurse.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, hey, you know, actually, this fits well with your Manchurian podcast last year. Uh-huh. What if it's an inside job, right? What if Nike is paying? They wanted to move in. They saw this upstart Steph Curry guy. And the whole Under Armour thing, right? And they were like, okay, we got to get Kevin Durant with his Nike signature shoe. We got to give Draymond Green a Nike shoe. We got to make sure that the Steph Curry shoes are crap. And we're going to claim this. We're going to claim the city for our own, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what's going on.
That's 100%.
That's not even conspiracy anymore.
Yeah. I can't believe we just figured this out.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to finish recording this podcast and wind up dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been working on my resume to send to Sam Hinkie. I want to join his next administration.
Yeah, wherever he goes, you're going?
The resume that you send to Sam Hinkie, you should just start it in the middle, you know, like with your accolades, and then in sort of like this third paragraph, you can put your name. You know,
he'll love it.
It just doesn't really matter. And then your references can like be stapled to the it can be taped to the back of the mailman.
Yeah.
The resume.
Yeah, yeah. The best part about that is when he reads it out of order, it'll be in order at that point. Yeah, it's too good.
Yeah.
Some people I suspect are tanking.
Yeah.
John Wall and Boogie Cousins.
Oh, wow. Why is this?
Well, you don't have to necessarily play bad to tank at basketball, right? You can still put up huge numbers and have a terrible attitude that kills your team spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a under-the-radar type tanking.
Yeah, you don't want to be a terrible player because then you don't get a max contract. But if you are a great player with a terrible attitude, you can get paid and then force yourself to be traded to anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's brilliant.
Yeah, my theory, Wall and Cousins are going to pout and moan until they're reunited on a team together.
It's the Suns, I hope.
I was going to say is the only team.
The Celtics.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it's got to be the Celtics.
I think Joakim Noah is intentionally playing bad.
Oh.
It's just going to afford him more time to smoke weed and invent new ways to rock a man bun. It's a guaranteed contract in the NBA. That's the beauty of it.
Right. He more ways to figure out how you shoot free throws with the ball spinning side to side instead of over the top. Have you seen how he shoots free throws? The ball like spins clockwise or counterclockwise.
I've seen him miss a lot.
But his father was a tennis player. You know, it's that topspin.
That's
that
true. Yeah,
it's backspin. No, I've heard that Joakim Noah is a notable philanderer. You know, I've heard that he.
You don't say.
Yeah, I've heard that he is prone to debauchery. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's got $72 million coming his way for lots of parties. Well, don't look now. The previously 9-2 Atlanta Hawks have lost 8 of their last 9.
Whoa.
Are now 10-10.
Okay.
And they have the 5th worst offense in the NBA. I think the world's just back to where it should be because Dwight Howard's like the Sacramento Kings. He's not trying to tank. Just sucking just comes so naturally to him.
Oh, brilliant.
Eating Dwight Howard will never go out of style.
No.
It feels too good.
Chris, how many different podcasts are you hosting or co-hosting these days?
So there's Almighty Ballin. That's the primary one. That's the hub.
Right.
And I try to do episodes of Hoops Historians as much as I can. Dan, the other host, is a big shot lawyer. I don't mean to sound like I'm joking. He is a big shot, so he's a busy guy, so we don't always get to record a lot. And then Unguarded Shooting, pretty much it's me and one of my close friends, Michael Luxenberg. We just break down game recaps way better than Danny and Nate will ever break down a game. So, you know, but that's more like half a podcast, so I'd say 2.5 is probably the appropriate answer.
Wow.
2.5, cool. Anything else you want to plug about the Almighty Baller Podcast Network? I know I got an email from you this week saying there's some new pods added.
Yeah, well, there's the A-Team. The A-Team is it's named A-Team because A is for Almighty, and Team is because they're each about an individual team. So the shows that we're starting out with are we've got the New York Knicks podcast. We've got Heat Beat, hopefully, is going to be coming on here soon. Zardcast is excellent for you Wizards fans out there. And Red Nation about the Houston Rockets. And I'm going to be talking to someone very soon about a Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh,
podcast.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Someone's going to get in on our territory there, Bob.
We our very first episode of Brick House was almost exclusively about Sam Hinkie and the Philadelphia 76ers. It's really an inspiration for the whole show.
Yeah, well, I do have a third podcast off the network. Do you guys know about the Deep Web?
Sure.
I have a Sam Hinkie podcast that that every episode is about Sam Hinkie, and it's tucked away in the deep web so no one can ever hear it or listen to it.
Mr. Robot style, I think, right?
Nice.
Yeah, no one's ever listened to it.
yeah, it's just
record them and put them there.
It's just for your personal...
It sounds cutting edge.
Yeah.
The way Hinkie would like
it. Yeah, he'd love it. He'd want to invest. It'd be a good tool to help him assess what he did the hour previous, Bob.
Hey, so what do you guys think about, like all joking aside, what do you guys think about Sam Hinkie? Smart guy, but like, I don't think he did that great of a job.
Oh, man. Well, just wait until you hear the first half hour of this podcast. Matt and I take turns taking quotes from this Sports Illustrated article and arguing whether he's crazy or a genius. And then we switch sides and then, you know, argue the opposite.
Yeah.
You'll...
So both Bob and I think he's crazy and a genius.
We think it's a very fine line between insanity and genius on the Brickhouse Pod.
I totally agree. I guess my thing is I'm trying to figure out whether he did a good job, and I just can't tell. Did you guys know? So Jahlil Okafor was picked with the second pick, and then it was Kristaps Porzingis right afterwards by
third,
Phil.
Third and fourth, yeah.
Yeah. So did you know that Kristaps and Joel Embiid right now could be running pick and rolls? Kristaps as the ball handler?
Oh, yeah. It could be Greek Freak instead of Michael Carter-Williams, too.
Yeah. Like, imagine being a Plumlee. Like, one of those, like...
I've imagined it plenty of times.
Yeah. Just imagine if he took any point guard, you know. That would help a lot.
Bob, I have a question. Where would I rank in the Plumlee rankings, the Brickhouse Plumlee brother rankings?
I'd put you at third.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. I assume I'm over Marshall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'll take
that.
That
sucks.
I think Hinkie, really, I don't know if this is a cop-out, but we won't really know how genius he was for maybe a year or two once these things start rolling in. And Embiid already looks great. I'm fully on the Embiid train.
I think it was a great way to keep your job for 3 years, you know?
Right.
You didn't have to improve anything except on how to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of my thinking, right? Is I think you guys are right. We need to see what the finished product is, right? It's like planting a seed in fertile ground, and you guys know that fertilizer is just like a load of I can't swear on the network, all right? But he was just heaping dung onto this seed, right? And if this flower blooms beautifully and springs from the earth with Joel Embiid, what type of flower? I think he'd be like a daisy, you know, as the center of this arrangement, then, you know, the process would be trustworthy, I guess.
I think whatever type of flower it is, Sam Hinkie will definitely have a robot gardener taking care of it.
That's a guarantee. 60% unemployment.
Well, at least we'll have plenty of time to watch 76ers basketball when we're all unemployed, right, guys?
Yeah.
Well, we really appreciate you, first of all, having the belief in Brickhouse and getting us on the podcast network. We're honored to be on the network with you. And also, coming on the show.
I think you guys are a lot funnier than I am, so it's awesome having you guys on. I mean, I'm a listener, so you're me endorsed. You have at least one listener. So
amazing.
Nice. That's two confirmed now.
Yeah. Who is the other one?
My mom.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take that.
She really likes that we can't cuss there.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah. Happy to do it, guys. Anytime you need a guest, let me know. And I feel just as blessed to have you guys on the show, or on the network, rather.
Serendipity, an opportunity.
Serendipity,
as Hinkie would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. We will have you on again soon, I'm sure, and I'm sure you'll help us set up some other guests from the network soon. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. And let me know if you guys need anything, for real.
That was a great interview with Axeman there. A couple of segments we can't leave out, our diss of the week.
What do we got?
Yo mama is so fat.
got a diss of the week from who else? Sam Hinkie.
Oh, man.
This is from that same SI article. People who first meet Hinkie are often surprised. For one, he's funnier than you'd expect. At one point, Hinkie jokes, if Greg Popovich turns David Lee into a great defender, he's a wizard and we should burn him.
I love that. That was one of the ones that stuck out for me. It's I would probably describe it as unemotional, but
sentimental.
Sentimental. That's how I would describe that.
On the next episode of Brick House,
Matt and I are going to flesh out our resumes and cover letters for internships at Sam Hinkie Incorporated.
Right.
I'm not sure what we can add to this man's skill set. Maybe Matt and I can teach him how to have a sense of humor.
It's not really about adding. It's like a massaging his already built empire, basically, is what I like to look at it as. Yeah.
I'm sure it wouldn't be weird at all to teach Sam Hinkie all of our best Brick House Sam Hinkie jokes. You know,
maybe he'd love it.
Good icebreakers for him.
Yeah.
We can teach him how to use a Fitbit correctly.
Okay.
And when not to bring up robots putting our children out of work.
Yeah. He needs a bit of help with that one.
Something to look forward to then on the next episode. Tweet us and follow us at Brickhouse Pod. Download Draft for your daily fantasy needs. Thanks to Chris Ballard for writing the amazing Sports Illustrated Sam Hinkie article.
Yeah.
And thanks to Chris Axman, the Axman.
The Axman.
For coming on the show. You can follow and tweet to Chris at Almighty Ballin. And if you're ever worried in this day and age, just remember, Matt, trust the process. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on the next episode of Brick House.